Hello, and welcome to our podcast on IPv6 security issues. My name is Tessa Parmenter, and I am here with Scott Hoag, co-author of the book IPv6 Security, Protection Measures for the Next Internet Protocol.
Thank you so much for joining me today. I'd like to ask you a few questions specific to IPv6 security. And my first and most commonly asked question of IPv6 security is, will IPv6 improve web security for enterprises? And if so, how about consumers?
IPv6, because it's a network layer protocol, it won't change the applications. So if there is a web server that is running either on IPv4 or on IPv6, it will have the same application vulnerabilities with either protocol, because the web application software doesn't differentiate necessarily which protocol stack it's using other than what it might have received back in terms of a DNS record, and then it would choose which protocol stack through the operating system to make that connection with. So if it was vulnerable over IPv4, the same web server would be vulnerable to the same attacks over IPv6. For consumers that are dual stacked, they also aren't necessarily affected by the underlying protocol that's used to communicate the data, but they might have increased risk for running two protocols at the same time, or if they haven't considered the security of the IPv6 protocol like they have the security of IPv4, then they could be operating without proper security protection. For example, an organization might have an IPv4 firewall, but if that firewall doesn't filter any IPv6 traffic and allows it to pass through it tunneled or otherwise without any filtering, then that doesn't provide any security benefit. So users often need to be aware that they might be communicating with IPv6 and take the proper protection mechanisms. That's what I refer to as the latent IPv6 threat. You may be using Microsoft operating system, Linux operating system, or Macintosh, you know, Apple operating system, and they would be dual stack by default. And IPv6 is, in fact, the protocol that is preferred for communications. If you could wake up somehow as an attacker, wake up or activate that IPv6 stack for communications, then it could allow for backdoor communications or things like that, because the user really doesn't have a feeling of which IP version they're using.
Right.
Selected for them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we want to prevent, is unknowing users being vulnerable.
Maybe you can tell me then what the differences are between IPv6 security and IPv4 security.
There are many similarities in the protocols. They're both network layer protocols. For both environments, you would still have a security perimeter. You would still protect your internal network in the same way. Your network topology isn't going to change with an addition of IPv6. It will remain the same. You still have branch offices, remote sites, an internet connection, a corporate network, server farms. You'll still have the same topology. A lot of the attacks are similar. LAN-based attacks against Address Resolution Protocol, ARP, in IPv4. Are similar in many ways to the Neighbor Discovery Protocol, NDP, attacks in IPv6. There's attacks against DHCP and DHCP version 6, just the same. Attackers will create fragmented packets or DOS attack for either protocol much the same way. IPv6 is different than IPv4 in the way the header is structured and the way extension headers and option headers are used, so there are some new vulnerabilities there. IP version 6 makes a heavier use of ICMP version 6. It's not optional and can be filtered out as readily as it is with IP version 4. With IPv6, it would be easier to filter unallocated IPv6 addresses. With IPv4, the address space is so fragmented that to create a BOGON access control list or something that filters out all the bogus addresses is more difficult. IPv6 offers several advantages in the way that it has implemented IPsec. because network address translation isn't used on IPv6 networks. You could use AH and ESP together. IPv6 also provides optimizations to mobile IP version 6, to mobile IP. But as devices move around on the internet, that does provide new security challenges. So in some ways, they're the same. In a few subtle areas, the two protocols' security is different.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned some of the security vulnerabilities in the Internet Protocol version 6. Is there any way to revise IPv6 to enhance a person's network security, or what other vulnerabilities might someone run into?
Yeah, the protocol and the structure of the protocol has been fixed. That's too difficult to change. It's been standardized by the IETF for quite a few years now.
Mm-hmm.
You can just simply adjust the way you filter the traffic and selectively filter out packets that you don't want. Changes, though, are happening still to the way we implement the protocol. In the past, IP version 4 had vulnerabilities for source routed packets. IP version 6 had a routing header in its extension header structure that could allow for some of the same types of attacks. A year ago, there was an RFC drafted, RFC 5095, I believe, that deprecated the use of routing header 0 to prevent those types of attacks. So the IETF and the V6 Ops Working Group are making recommendations to adjust the V6 protocol to make it more secure. You know, that'll happen over the years as we gain more implementation experience with it. As I mentioned, IPv6 has extension headers and option headers. Those are unique vulnerabilities to the IPv6 protocol, and the way you filter those packets is important at the perimeter and also internal to your network. There's vulnerabilities in neighbor discovery protocol in IPv6, just like there are vulnerabilities in ARP in IP version 4.
Okay. Now, I was told the federal government has already migrated to IPv6 since their self-imposed deadline of 2008. Is this actually true? Have they transitioned to the new protocol? And if so, how might that affect enterprises?
The U.S. government had initially, it was a mandate to have basic, you know, V6 capability by June 2008. But as they started to, you know, do more investigation, they realized, you know, that was a much harder goal for them to achieve. So most federal organizations just strived to have some basic V6 capability, or at least prove that it could be run across their networks in some small way. And so it really scaled back the spirit of that mandate. So many organizations and the federal government simply just turned on the protocol for a short period of time, ran a simple test, did some ping ICMP version 6 packets,
mm-hmm.
and proceeded to decommission their IPv6 link for fear of some of the vulnerabilities that have been talked about and are mentioned in the book. I'm not aware of any federal organization that has fully deployed IPv6. Many of them just dip their toe in the water to see what it's like, but can't think of one that has IPv6 fully deployed. Many of them have turned any IPv6 testbed they had running last year off. So I don't think that these federal organizations should fear IPv6 because of these unknown vulnerabilities. I think these organizations could read our book and see what they could do proactively to secure IPv6 in a reasonable way to gain similar protection mechanisms that they have with their IPv4 networks. For enterprises, though, I think enterprises will benefit from the early work, from the early research that's been done on IPv6. Although enterprises don't really have a business case to migrate to IPv6, that's a challenging thing for them, and it's even more challenging with the current economic conditions. But I think that vendors have, you know, products that are IPv6 capable. Many firewalls and security systems have IPv6 capability. The operating systems that we use have IPv6 capabilities. At some point, it'll be a lot simpler just to enable IPv6 to avoid the addressing crunch that we're experiencing with IP version 4. But there's no real deadline for that. Many organizations are procrastinating. And many people, I think, in the industry are unaware of the fact that migration to IPv6 is an eventuality. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when.
Right.
And, you know, the sooner we learn more about it and the sooner we start to test and plan the migration, the better off all of us will be.
I'm under the impression now that running IPv4 and IPv6 simultaneously does pose security issues.
Yes, that's accurate. Because you're running two protocols at the same time, you are subject to the vulnerabilities, the sum of the vulnerabilities in both protocols. There are certain attacks that could leverage one protocol vulnerabilities against another. So, for example, IPv4 address space is very densely populated. You can do ping sweeps and things like that very easily. In IPv6, it's very difficult to perform network reconnaissance. So an attacker might look for hosts that have IPv4 connectivity and ping and do sweeps with IPv4, looking for hosts that had some way to communicate with IPv6. Once they had found the host, then they would try IPv6 communications to those hosts. So they might leverage one protocol against the other, either for reconnaissance or actively attacking. Although many operating systems have both protocols enabled by default, if the network isn't supporting IPv6, then that other protocol won't be active. But there are ways that operating systems on their own try and create proactively, on behalf of the users, tunnels out to the IPv6 internet to try and assist the user with connecting to the IPv6 internet. And if those types of connections are done automatically for those users, and there is no security of how that protocol is being used or what that user can be connected to, then there would be security vulnerabilities in IPv6 that are greater than what they have for IPv4. So that there's that latent IPv6 threat as well, that IPv6 might not be as protected as IPv4 communications today.
Oh, that's interesting. I heard that address selection issues are associated with IPv6, and if that's the case, do those also threaten network security?
They can. IPv6 hosts generally have different addresses for different purposes. They might have link local addresses. They might have global addresses. They could be on a subnet with multiple address ranges. And in those cases, that host needs to decide which address to use for its outbound communications when it originates a connection. And inside most dual-stack operating systems, the IPv6 stack has these rules, these address selection rules, that govern which address is used. By default, you know, those are set up, and generally speaking, you don't have to modify those. But if an attacker were to be able to compromise your host and modify those rules in some way, then it could cause traffic to be sent in odd ways that could allow an attacker to do a man-in-the-middle attack or a denial-of-service attack or something like that. So we all need to check that those default address selection rules remain intact and are unmodified. Just watch out for that as an issue.
Mm-hmm. Now, since V6 is not backwards compatible with existing products, do you have any suggestions of any protection mechanisms that you might want to upgrade to or implement to keep your network secure?
There are things that companies can do today on their IPv4 networks to prevent outgoing unwanted IPv6 inside of IPv4 tunnels. Many organizations I encounter have a default firewall policy that allows just about any packet to leave their organization. That would allow IPv6 and IP tunneled packets using IP version 4 protocol number 41, or allow Teredo outbound tunnels to be created from desktops within their organization, unbeknownst to the user and unbeknownst to the network or system administrators. And those use UDP port 3544 in the outbound direction. If their firewall simply blocked those communications outbound, that would prevent IPv6 in some ways from being used as a back channel to control, you know, remote hosts. But users, system administrators, network administrators should look for products that are IPv6 capable. Many firewalls The most popular firewalls or the ones that have the most market share do have some IPv6 capabilities. So you should be looking, certainly when you go to buy a new firewall, look to buy one that has that capability. Even though you might not need it day one, a year or two from now, you'll be glad you purchased a product that had that capability to prevent you from having to forklift upgrade that firewall in the near future when you decide to move to IPv6. Many intrusion prevention systems don't have IPv6 signature capability, so it's important to look for products that can look for IPv6 packets. Even though you might not be using them, you might be surprised to find out what IPv6 you do have running on your network. I mean, manufacturers are trying to come out with more IPv6 capabilities in their products, but it's been slow going, just like the transition to IPv6. So you might have to upgrade software or hardware depending on the vendor's support for IPv6.
Is there any likelihood that IPv6 will be modified to make it backwards compatible with IPv4?
That's not possible. The way the protocol is structured, it's a completely separate protocol from IP version 4. They're capable of running on the same network in a ships-in-the-night style of communication, similar to the days when we ran IP, IPX, and AppleTalk on our multi-protocol networks. They can coexist, but they're not interoperable protocols.
Okay.
So that's not likely to happen.
So what tools and products can you use to monitor and identify any weaknesses in your IPv6 network?
There are IPv6 vulnerability scanners available. They can scan an IPv6 host just the same as they scan an IPv4 host, but the difference comes in their ability to find hosts in the first place and perform that reconnaissance function. Nmap, Nessus, other scanners do a ping sweep to find hosts, IPv4 hosts. That network reconnaissance isn't possible in an IPv6 network, so usually that scanning function is disabled in IPv6. For example, on an IPv6 network subnet, it could take hundreds of thousands of years to even find the first IPv6 host on a subnet by doing a brute force scan of all the addresses.
Oh,
it's not really possible because there are 2 to the power of 64 addresses on every IPv6 subnet, so it's too difficult to find. But if you found the host and you knew the host IPv6 address, you could scan it with many of today's port scanners and things like that. There are many systems that proactively scan enterprise organizations' networks looking for hosts and then ask them about their patch levels and their state, either for asset management or for proactive security management of making sure that hosts are up to the latest patches. Now, those systems, the way they're built for IPv4, use ping sweeps. But those products would need to be modified to work in an IPv6 environment because they couldn't just scan all the IPv6 hosts inside an enterprise and find the computers that are out there. So they may need to move toward more of an agent-based model where they have software running on the host that then phones home and then checks in and verifies that they're not vulnerable and their software is fully patched and whatnot.
Can any products fix an IPv6 security issue?
Yeah, there aren't many security monitoring or management products that will actively go in and correct your configurations or settings. They might just make recommendations to the security administrator that something was out of compliance. There are some security information management systems like MARS from Cisco that might give you recommendations of ways to, prevent a threat from further spreading, and they would give you a prescription of an access list or something you might apply to a router or a switch. And then it does give you the ability to proactively push out that change, but that's unique. Most security information management system products don't provide that level of remediation. But I think we're moving in that direction. Once a security management system might find a host that is vulnerable or is not up to date with patches, it might some way be able to interact with that host to get it patched before it communicates any further on the network. network access control, network admission control systems. That's what they try and do, is protect the network from hosts that might be unpatched. It'll take us quite a few years before things become automated. The thing is, we don't know what hackers are going to do in the future, what attacks we might face in the future, so it's difficult to build a product that anticipates those types of ever-evolving threats. You know, I think people just need to be aware of IPv6 and how it may be running on their networks today without their knowledge. They should start to plan for IPv6, and they should plan the migration to IPv6 with security in mind right from the start, so we can avoid some of the problems that we've had when we first started deploying IPv4 networks where security wasn't a consideration. I think we've learned a lot from IP version 4, and we could leverage that as we move forward with migrating to IPv6. And if we do it intelligently with information on the current practices of securing IPv6, we'll prevent a lot of problems.
This concludes our podcast on IPv6 security issues. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great day.